Welcome to another Message from the Heart. Life-changing messages from the heart of Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Mumbai.
Last week we talked about how you can reach your full potential in Christ, and we touched on the incredible potential that God has placed in all of us, and how unless we commit ourselves fully to the task of obediently seeking Him, we condemn ourselves and even sometimes content ourselves with being mediocre. Newsflash, God wants more than you being boring and mediocre. He really does. He's got an amazing, incredible plan for your life. He sees unlimited potential within you. He sees unfathomless beauty in your character. He sees what you could and should be, the very image of His one and only Son. Now, last week, most of you stood and said, you made a covenant with me that you would start to step out and discover God's potential for your life. Now, you may have had a tough week. I don't know what your week's been like. Maybe you've faltered this week. Maybe you thought, oh, well, I stood up on Sunday, but you know, my week's fallen apart and I don't feel very good about it. But I tell you, God's promises, they abide. They really do. If you stood and said, Lord, I want to reach my full potential, He saw that and He took note of that. And doesn't matter what your week's been like, I believe in a God of miracles, don't you? So I want you to imagine this, that you are an intrepid, hard-hitting reporter. And I don't know if you've seen any hard-hitting reporters around, but Oprah Winfrey, any Oprah fans here? Look at that, thousands of you. All right, two. But just imagine you're a hard-hitting reporter. Imagine you've been, you know, interviewing people like Oprah all the time. You've got to ask Lance Armstrong why he used steroids. You've got to ask Napoleon why he invaded Russia. You've got to ask Superman if he really was from Krypton. So you've asked all the big questions, and there in front of you is God. And you go, wow, what would you ask Him? Would you ask Him about how the universe began? Would you ask Him about how it's going to end? Or would you be bold enough to ask Him something that would actually affect you and indeed all of us? Why not ask about God's will, God's plan and purpose for your life? If He was there in front of you and you were interviewing Him, would you ask Him that? Are you fully willing and available to receive His answers? Are you afraid of what He'd say, or afraid that maybe He would say something that you would never measure up to? You go, oh, I don't want to know that. You ever been in that situation? You don't ask the question because you don't want to know? Has anybody? It doesn't change whether it's a fact or not. You just go, if I, you know, maybe I don't want to know about that. So let's get specific. Here's some of the questions you could ask God. And I would encourage you to ask these. Why don't you close your eyes and just concentrate on the Lord now. And I want you to ask Him these questions, straight from you to Him. What would you want to do in my life? You might ask, what do you want to do through my life to others? You might ask, what do you still desire for me to experience? What possibilities lie within me? What potential lies before me? You might even ask, what could I become or should I become? Or maybe, what did you have in mind when you created me? What do you desire for me? You see, only God can answer those questions. You've just asked the Lord in your heart, but only God can answer those questions. And here's the thing, He most often will only answer those questions when He's asked. He's not going to burst into your life and try and change something. He's going to wait till you ask Him. So you've taken a few moments to ask Him. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says this, call to me, says the Lord, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So He guarantees if you ask Him the question, He will find a way to answer you. And that's what we're going to do this morning. You know, this time of year, we've got students running around everywhere planning out the rest of their lives. Have you noticed that? Some of you are planning different things in your life. Maybe, you know, moving or different job or something like that. Maybe looking at what course you want to study, what career you want to pursue, where you want to travel to, who you want to meet and marry. Is anybody thinking about that at the moment? One or two, there you go. But my question to all of these things is, why don't you ask the Lord, why did He create you? Who were you created to be? What does he have a plan and a purpose for your life? Because it's not just young people who need to know about this. We think, oh, well, they're young. They need to know about this. I'm a bit older, a bit sort of scratchier, a little bit wider, slightly wrinklier. I don't need to know those things. But hey, it doesn't matter who you are, old or young, mature, naive, employed or unemployed, married, divorced, parents, whatever the case, we all need to know the question, what does God want us to be? What does he plan for us to be? In fact, I was talking during the week to a couple who were faced a decision, and the decision was, do they take the kind of the safe way for the money, or do they step out and pursue their dream? And I would say to you, certainly in my opinion, I always go for the dream, because otherwise you're going to earn lots of money and be miserable. How many of you know money doesn't buy happiness? Yeah? It means you can be miserable in comfort, but it doesn't buy happiness. And I would encourage you to not get stuck in a rut. A rut is just a grave with the ends knocked out. Don't get stuck there. It is death, I'm telling you. And many of us in our Christian life get stuck in exactly that position. So maybe you feel like you haven't got the money or anything else, something is in short supply. I'm telling you, if you step out and trust God, if you have a generous spirit and you trust God, he will open the way and he'll bring stuff into your life that will blow your fuses. This week in our Bible readings, we looked at the children of Israel. They're being pursued. They run into the Red Sea. They turn around. They're seeing Pharaoh's, all his chariots and stuff coming this direction. They've got the Red Sea at their back. Right? To all intents and purposes, that's a dead end. But it's never a dead end in God, because he can open that sea up and take you through and do a miracle. So we've got to change the way we see things. But some of you will be sitting here saying, and I'm sure some of you are saying, God, would you ever really do that for me? I bet some of you here are sitting here thinking, I'm not good enough to amount to anything for God. I'm just not. I'm sure some of you here are sitting here thinking, well, how can you have a plan for my life because I've done all of these things in the past? Well, sometimes we think things we've done in the past or the situation we're currently in disqualifies us from reaching our full potential in God. But God's word reveals to us that destiny is actually a series of choices. Regardless of your past and regardless of what's going on in your life now, God has a destiny and a plan for you. And you can start making the right choices this morning as you pursue your potential and your destiny. You are still qualified. Now, I'm going to run through a few things here. If any of these apply for you, trust me, you are still qualified. You are still qualified even if you've lost a partner through death or divorce. You are still qualified if you've recently lost a job or you've missed a job opportunity or you can't get a job. You are still qualified. You're still qualified if you're about to be married, if you're about to move, if you've got rowdy kids of any age. If your kids are out of control, that does not disqualify you from God helping you to reach your full potential. You are still qualified if you just changed churches. Many of you here have just changed churches. You think, oh gosh, I better sit down for a year or two and sort of, assimilate. No, you're still qualified. God has a potential and a plan and a purpose for you. Right? That doesn't disqualify you if you've gone through change. You're still qualified if you've done drugs, slept around, robbed banks, or murdered somebody. Doesn't matter. You're still qualified. I remember sitting in a prison one time leading a guy through to the Lord who'd murdered somebody, and he said, God could never forgive me. And I said, that is not true. That is not true. He forgives murderers as much as anybody else. Murder is not the unforgivable sin. Neither is robbing a bank. Neither is taking drugs or sleeping around. None of those disqualifies you. God has a plan and purpose for your life. And he's called you to something great. Now, this doesn't mean, if you come from any of these bad situational backgrounds, it does not mean that you can just keep doing what you're doing and behaving badly. Okay, I need to qualify this for you. Don't bother asking him to lead you if you're determined to wander off the path he sets for you and do your own rebellious thing. But listen, if you are willing to listen, learn, and obey, starting today, you are definitely not disqualified. The only thing that can disqualify you from moving into your full potential in Christ is you moving away from the path that he's laid out for you. And that's your choice. It comes back down to choices. So we all need to ask God repeatedly and frequently, why did you create me? What do you have planned and purpose for my life? Because 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says this, It is written. And I love this verse because this lays it out very clearly. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who loved him. He's preparing it. It's how you can reach incredible potential beyond what you can even imagine. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It's out there. And God's preparing it just for you. So there are five pillars of potential in the Bible. And I want to quickly run through these. Number one, every person has potential. Every person has potential. You might say, oh, well, I have, you know, this going on in my life. Or I have, you know, I've had a terrible upbringing. Or I have a disability. Or I have 12 charming but illegitimate children. I don't know. Doesn't matter what, every single person has potential. Doesn't matter what you've done or where you're from. Doesn't matter if you messed your life up so far. Doesn't matter how old you are. There's still more that God has for you to do. The second thing is every person has been created to bring God glory. How do we bring God glory? By being the people that he's made us into individually, then collectively in his church. So we bring him glory by fulfilling his purposes on earth. The third thing is that we all need God's help. No one could reach their full potential without God. No one. You might have gifts or talents, but you still can't reach your potential. Number four is we must factor in the spiritual dimension. God's not only created you with gifts and talents to do his work, but he's created you with desires, dreams, and a disposition to become a person with whom he actually enjoys spending time with. God wants to hang out with you. How good is that? The God who created the universe wants to hang out with you. And part of your potential lies in who God made you to be, not only what he created you to do. You are a human being, right? Not a human doing. Everyone say, I'm a human being. Not a human doing. So it's not just what you do that should bring value. It's who you are because he loves you. And the fifth thing is that only God knows the limit of your potential. Only God. You are finite and you have the ability to fathom a certain amount. But God fathoms all things. And he knows his purpose for you. No one can fully understand the depths of his love. No one can fully understand the blessing and reward he has for you out there. His version of things is bigger than yours. Love that verse. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Because I've got a pretty good imagination and I can, you know, imagine a lot of things and he can do beyond that. Isn't that exciting? I get excited when I see this. You see, what you see often isn't what you get. A person may reach the pinnacle of their profession or be lauded as the best in the world at a particular sport or skill or craft. He may rank in the top of any one of the number of world scales or criteria. And you may look at those people and they're rich and they're famous and they're successful and say, I want to be like those guys. But listen, unless that person factors God into their life, seeking to love and serve wholeheartedly the Lord, they will never, never, never maximize their potential. They might maximize their outward abilities, but C.S. Lewis said it well. He said, inside everybody is a God-shaped vacuum. And unless you fill that with God, it's a vacuum. It's a hole. It won't work. When the Lord challenged Fiona and I to step up to become pastors of this church, I met with a number of people that I know. And Mari Cartledge, who's coming in a few weeks, she shared something with me and it's proven to be really true. Don't you hate it when people are true and you go, well, I don't know, and then they're proven to be right and you go, you've got to be humble and say, yes, you are right, you know, because I was worried about stepping up into this position and I didn't want to do it. I'll tell you right now, I didn't want to do it. And Mari said this to me. She said, Darren, you've had a great career in ministry all around the world. You've sung in various places and done a whole heap of stuff for the Lord. But she said this, unless you step into this position, there's a whole part of your life that will never be fulfilled. You will still be full and successful in other things, but this is a bit, if you don't step up, this is a bit you'll miss out on. So I stepped up. And you know what? She's right. Now, a year and a half down the track, I wouldn't have it any other way. It was the best decision I could have made. I hope you're thinking the same. But for me, certainly was. It's brought such joy to be able to lead this church and see what God has done and is doing and will do. But I'd have missed that entirely if I'd stepped out of the Lord's will. So this is the thing. We need to come to the Lord with everything we have, everything we are, and say, have your way. Your potential includes attributes, abilities, and attitudes. Let's deal with it one by one. Attributes. Your attributes are the real you. It's the you you carry around and to different places. It's the you that other people see. It shows up at different times and people you associate with say, oh, that's you. So they're your attributes. And the Bible gives us a very good description of the character that God wants to see in us. The Apostle Paul wrote that the Father's purpose is to conform us to the image of his Son. In Romans 8, 29 says this, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So he has an image in his heart for you to be conformed to his Son. And the character is such, you might say, well, what sort of character should I come up with? Well, what's it going to look like? What's my attributes going to look like? Romans 5, 22. It looks like this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is what God looks like in you. Okay? You can have all the gifts you want. If you don't have the fruit, where's the Holy Spirit? Because the fruit of the Spirit is where it makes us different to everyone else. And that's what I strive for, is to get the fruit of the Spirit in my life. So these are not attributes that we can produce on our own, but they develop as we, for example, say no to temptation in the flesh and yes to the Holy Spirit living and working within us. The Spirit matures us into fullness of Christ's character, and he generates in us the awareness, the ability, and the courage to live out a new life marked by godliness. You cannot reach your full potential of your attributes without being close to God. The second thing is your abilities. Now, the same is true for your abilities. You may think that by exercising, practicing, pursuing education and training, you can reach the fullness of your God-given abilities. And you know, if you want to get training, go to university, whatever it is, God bless you. That's a great thing. I've been to university. I have wasted several years of my life at university also. Doing things I look back on, and some of them you just regret. But I'm telling you, you know, that's training that you can apply at some point in your life. The truth is, though, that the Lord gives you the opportunities to develop those gifts and talents. He orchestrates your life by putting you in the company of the right teachers, the right encouragers, and even the right competitors. Do you know your competitors can make you better? Have you noticed that? They make you rise up and do more. So don't be afraid of competition. Just trust in the Lord and say, God, where are you in this? But never forget that it's God who gives you the mental and physical energy to pursue these things and to develop these talents and gifts. He's the one who gives you the next heartbeat, the next breath, the next idea, the next awareness of what is possible. And God gives you the opportunities for displaying and using your talents in a way that will bring him glory. You know, I went to university and I graduated with a piece of paper that said Bachelor of Optometry. And that was fantastic. I had studied the eyes, the brain, visual performance, function, lenses, contact lenses, and so on. So when I graduated, I applied to get a job. And I walked into my first day on the job absolutely terrified. You know why? Because with all the knowledge I had, this didn't mean diddly squat in the real world. Because I actually had a real person with real needs, and I'm thinking, how do I solve this person's needs? It was all theory. It was all knowledge. It wasn't applied. And until you apply that, it's not particularly useful. Let me ask you, if you're going to the doctors and they said, we've got two doctors you can choose from. One's a graduate with 15 years of experience, and he's been working for all that time. The other guy, straight out of university, you'll be his first patient ever. Who would you choose? Oh, well, the new guy might know the new things. Yes, he might. But I'm going to choose the other guy every single time, right? Because there's something about practicality that comes into it. The Christian life was never intended to be book learning or head knowledge. If Christianity's going to work, folks, it's going to work in the real life with real people and real problems. God wants us to live out the life that He's created and intends for us to live. The Bible tells us repeatedly to get knowledge and understanding, but it then challenges us to pursue wisdom. What's wisdom, you might ask? Wisdom is the application of knowledge and understanding in the real world to real life problems according to God's commandments and principles. Look at Solomon. Young Solomon, you're a young lad. Imagine you're a young lad. You're about to become the king of the entire kingdom. And God appears to you and says, what do you want? What can I give you? You could say money. You could say fame. You could say, give me a beautiful wife or two or, you know, 1,000 or whatever he had. You could ask for anything. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. Why did he ask for wisdom? Because wisdom is God's knowledge applied in the real world. That's what wisdom is. See, that's the thing. Getting old is compulsory. Becoming mature is optional. Just because you're old doesn't mean you're wise and mature. I meet plenty of older people who still act like they're children because they're not wise. So how do we develop this wisdom in our life? Well, to coin a term from tennis, you must improve your serve. Did anybody see the Australian Open a little while ago? Yes. Even Serena Williams must improve her serve. Our abilities are truly challenged when we manifest them in ways that genuinely serve and bless people. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And this is so, I've seen it in my life. Probably some of you will know I sing a bit. And I've sung for years. And I love singing. And I started off, where's Brett? You'll love this. I started off doing, rock music in a band. And Henrik, we've got all these band guys here who love it. That's where I started. I started off playing rock music in a band, and I was in a band in high school, and this was terrible because my parents wanted me to study, and I said, but I won't have much use for study when we release our 10th platinum album, you know. And my mum said, but you need to study. And I'm going, yeah, but I'd just rather hang out with the guys and play music. So my friends and I decided that we were going to run away and form a rock band, and we were going to take on the world, play the entertainment center in a couple of weeks, maybe the Hollywood Bowl the week after that, and then we'd make it. Good plan, right? Great plan. Until my mum found out about it, and she changed me schools. Can you believe that? She sent me to a school on the other side of the town to get me away from those guys. Now, I love singing, and it was really something I really enjoyed doing, and I was reasonably good at it. But I got to tell you, I faced a choice in my life. Do I follow the band and kind of do the pub thing, or do I sing for Jesus? And I chose to sing for Jesus. And here's the crazy thing. God has taken that talent and he's taken me all around the world. I've got to sing in front of all these huge audiences, way more than I would ever have got in a pub band. Way more. And what's more, none of them were drunk. How soul-destroying is it to get up there and sing your heart out and everybody's going, oh, that's really good. You know, I get to sing the people who actually listen. And I get flown around the world many times. It's been an incredible blessing. Why? Because I took that talent, that gift that God had, and I said, Lord, I want to lay it at your feet, not pursue my own ends, lay it at your feet. And that's the difference. It's just crazy that the Lord would do that. But he provides genuine opportunities for service, then rewards them with his presence. Skills or abilities that are used in real-world situations for true service for the Lord add a dimension to the purposes you have in life. And it's incredible. If you have a talent, if you have a gift, if you have a secret yearning desire to do something, then I'm telling you, if you take that and plug it into the Lord and use it in somewhere like this church, and we'll give you opportunity to do that, then the sky's the limit. You will be so fulfilled. Because that's what happens when we lay our talent at the Lord's feet. The third thing was attitude. God's placed within you attitudes. Everybody go, uh-oh. Come on. Yeah, I thought so. Attitudes that will drive and help you to develop the right attributes by bringing him glory. Now, when I say attitudes, all of you are looking and going, oh dear, he must know about that blow-up I had last week. He must know about that bad attitude I had to work this week. Look, at times your attitudes might be marred, scarred, or worthy of being barred. They might make you duck. They might make you run amok. They might just plain suck. But deep down, whether you're currently half-hearted, hard-hearted, broken-hearted, or wear your heart on your sleeve, God has given you attitude. And those attitudes are the right attitudes for you. You might have messed them up and got the worst out of them, but he can bring the best out of them. Is that true? 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands, because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So God has given you attitudes that can serve to bring out your full potential. He's placed within you aptitudes that can be trained and molded into the right abilities that bring him glory. And here's the thing, what you see as a character flaw, what your wife or husband says, oh boy, you got to work on that one. Like my wife who says, all of my life is consecrated to the Lord except my driving. Can you believe that? There's a few of you here like that, I can see. But he takes those character flaws and he can develop them into something incredible. Your timidity, for example, if you're quite timid, he can develop that into patience and greater trust in him. Your stubbornness. Who's stubborn? Come on. There you go. There's a few. Your stubbornness can become long-suffering and faithfulness in the hands of God. Your anger can give rise to godly zeal, not anger. Your past hurts can provide valuable wisdom and experience to help you minister to others. God doesn't leave anything to chance. He can take every attitude you've got, good, bad, and indifferent, and transform it into something incredible. Because that's what he does. It is God who works throughout your entire life to bring you to fullness in your attributes, your abilities, your aptitudes, and your attitudes. You cannot do it in your own strength. You can only do it in God's strength. It was once said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. This is the reason I say with boldness this morning, folks. Only God knows your potential and only God can help you fulfill it. Only God sees what others do not see. He can see deeper. He can see the hidden potential your boss, your husband, your wife, even your mum doesn't see. Mums have this incredible ability to look at their kids and not see anything wrong. I love that in my mum. Right, but even she can't see the potential that God can see right down there deep inside. I want you to embrace the possibilities this morning. I mean, think about it. Do you think that Paul, when he wrote a letter to some churches that he loved, do you think he knew that 2,000 years later people would still be reading that and being blessed? I reckon he had no idea. He's just writing to some churches. There is no way that you know how much your life will influence others. You don't know who's watching, who's listening, and who's learning from you. Maybe your kids are. Maybe your friends are looking at you. Maybe your pastor's looking at you and learning something from you. It's impossible to know for certain those you influence or how they will influence others and how that will affect the world. Every person you see impacts history, for good or for evil, for God or for the enemy. What you do and say lives on in the hearts and minds of others to some degree. So it's not even just about you. If you don't reach your full potential, others will suffer. So it's up to you to say, yes, Lord, yes, I want to reach my full potential that I can bring others with me and that my children and their children and my friends will be influenced for you. Are you willing to line up today and say to the Lord, here am I, choose me? Have you ever heard of Edward Kimball? Who's heard of Edward Kimball? Nobody. You know why? Because Edward Kimball was, in fact, a nobody in the world's eyes. There's a couple of photographs left of him. But I want to tell you the story of Edward Kimball because this will give you an idea that God's plans and purpose for your life is not just about you, but he has a greater plan. Listen to this. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who had rowdy, difficult children in his class in the 1880s. Can you believe that? In the 1880s. He tried to win each one to Christ individually, despite their unruly and hyperactive behavior. One young man in particular didn't seem to understand what the gospel was about, so Kimball went to the shoe store where he was stocking shelves, and he confronted him in the stockroom out the back about the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That man received Jesus that day. His name was Dwight L. Moody. Now, Moody went on to become the greatest evangelist of his day. He was like preaching to hundreds of thousands of people back in the late 1800s. And Moody influenced a man named F.B. Meyer, who in turn had a profound effect on another man's heart, a fellow called Wilbur Chapman. Now, Chapman became an evangelist who went around America preaching to various venues and that sort of stuff. Now, one day, a guy walked into his meeting who was a baseball player on his day off. He was actually a professional baseball player on his day off, walked into his meeting and gave his heart to Jesus. His name was Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday became an evangelist, and he went all around America because he was quite famous because he was a baseball player. He went all around America preaching the gospel. One day he led a young fellow to the Lord whose name was Mordecai Ham. And he too, Mordecai Ham, was a quiet little bloke, but he wanted to preach the gospel too. So he started having meetings around the place, not as big as Billy Sunday, just little insignificant meetings. And one day in 1934, he visited a little Baptist church in Charlotte, North Carolina, to preach a series of revival meetings. After one especially tough evening, he shared the gospel and he called souls to repentance and to receive Jesus Christ. And one person came forward, a lanky, awkward-looking country boy, came forward and gave his heart to Jesus. You might look at that and say, well, that meeting was a bit of a waste. Only one guy came forward. But if you know the story, the name of the guy was Billy Graham. Was that a success? Would you call that meeting a success if only one guy comes forward and it's Billy Graham? I think so. You see, all this started right back with Edward Kimball, who made a decision that he would go to some young guys in his Sunday school class and tell them the truth about Jesus. You have no idea of the domino effect that is set in motion when you start obeying the Lord and saying, yes, I will reach my full potential. See, the thing is, the decision you make in church over these next few weeks and months about your potential is going to have effects that will last to eternity. So the choice is yours, yes or no, death or life, blessings or cursings. What's it going to be? Those who never discover and pursue God's purpose for their life, this is how it goes. It spirals down. They feel empty and disappointed, often frustrated and discouraged. You might even be frustrated. Look at your life today and say, oh man, my life is so frustrating. But if you don't deal with that frustration, then that leads to worry and anxiety, and left unchecked, they turn into depression. And if depression is not reversed, it can turn into despair, the downward spiral. But here's how it goes if you do the opposite. The very opposite occurs to those who wholeheartedly pursue God's plan and will and purpose for their life. They feel energized, satisfied. They feel encouraged. They have joy and hope, even facing difficult circumstances. In fact, they ride the waves of problems and challenges, seeing each one not as a fear, not as a setback, not even as a hardship, but as a stepping stone to greatness. Okay? They see life's challenges as a golden opportunity to believe God and to reach for their potential, and they believe that He is using those circumstances to carry them forward to greater good and greater trust in Him. The more they experience the Lord at work in their lives, through their lives, the more they trust God and they grow in intimacy with Him, and the upward spiral continues all the way to heaven. When we say life and death, blessings and cursings, that's the choice you face. Because if you turn your back on God's God-given potential in your life, you will start to slide down and feel miserable. If you follow it, then the Lord is going to be there for you. I once heard of a little girl who was walking around the house on her tippy toes like this. And her father said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm seeing what it's like to be a big girl." And God has a will and a plan and a purpose for your life that should keep you walking on your toes. He has a greater spiritual maturity for you, a greater reward for you, a greater joy for you, a greater success for you. And all of it from the Lord's perspective is so fantastic. You cannot even begin to imagine what God has for you. It is that good. So this morning I want to ask you specifically, what is your greatest failure? What is the thing that you perceive is holding you back from greatness in God? What is the thing that can stop you from making good that confession you made last week about reaching for your full potential? Is it lack of trust, past hurts? Is it fear of others? Is it fear of financial failure? Is it fear of the future? Were you once told perhaps that you'll never amount to anything? Do you feel like you'll never be good enough? Have you tried to be a better person in the past and failed? I don't know what it is that is your greatest disappointment, but I want you to imagine it, because God is going to remove that this morning. Are you with me? We haven't had any audio visuals this morning, so I'm going to have to ask you to do this in your own heart. Because I believe that God wants to remove the barriers between us and our great future and potential. Remember, it's not just about you, it's about your children. It's about your friends, it's about others around you, and you can be the link in the chain to have an incredible effect for the Lord. You might be the first link, the middle link, the last link. Just don't be the missing link, that's all. Don't be the missing link, because He has a great plan and a purpose for your future. He loves you. He loves you with an incredible love. Would you bow your heads?
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Woombai, on the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more messages from the heart, transcripts, and other material, visit www.coastchurch.com.au or subscribe on podbean.com. See you next week on Messages from the Heart.